right, everyone. Time for another view of how the wheels of justice work in this country with a look at a single case from the Marshall Project's Case in Point series. Back in 2005, the FBI arrested 18 people in what the government saw as a drug trafficking conspiracy to sell crack cocaine in the Congress Heights neighborhood of Washington, D.C. One of the men arrested was Gregory Boy Boy Bell. But during the course of the 8-month-long trial, the government's case didn't hold up. Here's James Bean, who was Bell's defense attorney at the time.
There were a bunch of snitches, and almost all of them were destroyed on cross-examination. And some of them actually admitted that they didn't know Greg. And the ones who did know Greg could not put him in any drug purchases or anything.
A jury ultimately acquitted Bell of all of the most serious charges. Joe Neff, an investigative reporter for the Marshall Project, explains what happened next.
Boy Boy Bell was convicted of selling 5 grams of crack. And according to the sentencing guidelines, a 4-to-5-year sentence would follow. But at sentencing, the prosecution argued for and the judge accepted the notion that Boy Boy Bell actually was part of a conspiracy. And the judge tripled his sentence to 16 years. This was a charge that the jury expressly rejected. But under federal law, a judge can use acquitted conduct to ratchet up a sentence.
Acquitted conduct. In this case, it basically means that the judge bypasses the jury on sentencing. And it's a concept I had never heard of before. And Neff told me just how a jury can acquit, but a judge can still sentence.
At sentencing, a judge usually has a range to pick what is the exact sentence. In this case, selling crack, each count carried a 0-to-20-year range. And so the judge also, at sentencing, uses a lower standard of proof, a preponderance of an evidence, which is like the tilt of a scale, 51%. The jury, rendering a verdict, can only convict upon beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a really high standard. So at sentencing, the judge can use 51%, and he said, I saw the photos, countless photos, and countless witnesses said that you were poisoning the community with crack. And since the judge can use a lower standard, the preponderance of the evidence, 51%, he said, by that standard, you were in that conspiracy. And his 5-gram conviction became a 1,500-gram conviction for the purposes of sentencing.
This seems deeply unfair to me, but what about the jury? What was their reaction to this?
Well, one of the jurors, in hearing about these long sentences being handed down to Boy Boy and his several other people who were convicted in a similar situation, wrote to the judge and said he was incredulous. We didn't see any conspiracy. This trial went on for 11 months, and we, not a one of us, saw that. You are sentencing him on what the prosecution wanted to convict them on, but we saw no evidence of it. It does seem unfair to be sentenced for conduct the jury acquitted you of, or which was dismissed, or which you were never charged on. But the root of this is that judges, you know, they have that preponderance of the evidence standard, and if they feel like they want to find a fact that you're involved in a conspiracy or another crime, the judge can do that.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Marshall Project writer Joe Neff, and we're talking about the case of Gregory Bell, who a judge sentenced to 16 years in prison, even though a jury had acquitted him of most charges. I want to play a clip from James Bean, who was Bell's defense attorney.
Our system of justice was based on the principles of fairness. There's nothing fair about being sentenced to jail for conduct that you were acquitted of. Because when you look at it, you are taking away somebody's liberty based on basically the word of the government.
Bell's attorneys tried to appeal the verdict, and then the higher courts refused to hear the case. But in 2015, Brett Kavanaugh, current Supreme Court nominee, who was then one of the judges on the Court of Appeals, came out pretty firmly against this kind of sentencing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Gregory Boy Boy Bell, he and his lawyer appealed this sentence, and the Court of Appeals in D.C. upheld the sentence. He appealed to the whole circuit court, like 10 or 12 members, asked them to take another look at it. They agreed. They can't review it, but two of them, including Brett Kavanaugh, currently the nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, concurred that while they had no legal basis to overturn his conviction, he urged the Supreme Court to look at this again, and he thought there's a couple ways to fix this. The Supreme Court could change its jurisprudence. Congress could pass a law. But the main thing he said was that, hey, trial judges around the country, you don't have to use this. It's discretionary. It's not mandatory to add these years, and it's unfair, so don't do it.
How often is this kind of sentencing based on acquitted conduct actually happening?
The use of acquitted conduct at sentencing has been used for decades. So it is a tool in mainly in a prosecutor's arsenal to argue it, and then the judge will accept it at sentencing. This has been going on for a while. What is in flux now is you have someone who's may get on the Supreme Court who is on record as saying this is unfair.
And where is Bell now? Is he incarcerated? Have you had a chance to follow up with him?
He is in federal prison. It's pretty arduous to get in contact with a federal inmate in a short period of time. I did talk to his lawyer, but mainly the story is right there in all the court records about what happened to him.
Joe Neff is an investigative reporter for The Marshall Project. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.